Hello and welcome to The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I'm very happy that you are here with us today and are ready to listen to our program. Today, we also have with us our co-host, Ali. Ali, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Ruth. It's really good to be talking with you. We had a really busy day yesterday, but I'm really excited to be able to come here on the show because I know this is a place where we can always talk about, you know, the movement and, you know, social movements, political movements that we have going on here in the Tampa Bay, Suncoast area. And yeah, I'm really excited to get into it.
Yes, I am too. I'm very glad that both of us are able to be in this show. We know that that's something that has been very difficult because of how we have been organizing and the Palestinian struggle that has been going very strong for a long time. But let's go ahead and get into what we did yesterday. Let's start with the very, very early in the morning press conference that we held in front of the Manatee County Commission.
Yeah, wow. You know, it was crazy. We had the Manatee County Commission early in the morning. Obviously, we're going there for justice for Briante, you know, Briante Johnson Davis, who was murdered by the Palmetto Police Department. And then after that, we had Joe Biden coming to Tampa. And I know we want to talk about that later, but focusing on Briante for now, you know, I was there for the press conference portion. I heard you speak. I heard, you know, Tracy Washington, the mother of Briante, speak. I know that what we're doing is we're fighting to make sure that no one can be murdered by the police in the same way that Briante was when the police responded to a mental health emergency that Briante was having from you know, from a 911 call. We know what would have saved his life. You know, we know that if the police hadn't come, he'd still be alive. And we know that in other cities, the police wouldn't come to a call like that. It would instead be mental health professionals. And they have a program like that in Tampa, in the city of Tampa. It's a new program. And they have a city like that in St. Petersburg. It's called the Call Program in St. Pete. It's called the Crisis Intervention Task Force or something like that.
Community Assistance and Life Liaison Program.
Yes. That's the one. But the important thing is that it's sending mental health professionals to these calls instead of police officers, people who are trained in trying to, you know, assist these people instead of people who are trained essentially to dominate and to brutalize, which we know that is how police are trained because honestly, it's the function that police play in our society. So, you know, we're fighting for justice for Briante. We do want the police officers who were involved to be fired. And we do want the mayor of Palmetto, who's been very callous towards this entire case, towards the family of Briante, who showed no remorse for the death, the murder of Briante. We want her to step down. But, you know, not only do we want justice for Briante, we want to make sure that no one can be murdered like this ever again. And I think it's something that we can win. And yeah, I'm excited for this campaign to continue and for the fight for justice to continue. And I think, you know, you could speak to it a little bit more as well.
Yes, Ali. I mean, it was such an interesting meeting. I'm glad that we were advocating for the call program. Miss Tracy Washington, Briante's mother, has been, you know, from the beginning of this campaign, it's been a major point for her that we make sure to prevent another death from happening. In the call program and having mental health professionals coming to this, to responding to these calls is definitely, you know, the step in the right direction to prevent future death. The meeting inside the county commission, I have to tell you, it was very interesting. It went very well all the way up to a point when Commissioner Kevin, I think we call him K-O-V or something like that. He has a last name that I cannot pronounce at this moment. But he made some comments that were very discouraging. He mentioned the many mental health programs that Manatee County has right now. I mean, he was a little bit upset that we mentioned the killer cops, but I don't know what else we can call, you know, cops that murder someone outside of killer cops. And also the fact that, you know, regardless of the many mental health programs that the county has, reality is that, you know, Briante did not receive any of those services.
Yeah, and just to clarify, you're talking about the Manatee County Commissioner, Kevin Van Ostenbridge?
Yes, correct. That's his last name. That's what I was talking about, yeah. What we'll do, because we, you know, we have limited time in this program, we're going to cover that on a different program, because we are able to pull the actual audio from everything that he said. But yeah, let's go ahead and cover it. But I'm glad that we mentioned that, you know, this fight continues, the fight for justice for Briante, the fight for the implementation of the COLE program at a county level, because it doesn't really make sense to just do it in Palmetto, since Palmetto is actually a very minority of the entire county of Manatee. So we'll dedicate a whole program to discussing that more. And, you know, it comes to mind that we should probably bring something like that to Sarasota County as well. So we'll make sure to cover that, you know, in a future show coming up.
I really look forward to hearing that on The Ruthless Truth, which everyone is listening to. You are currently listening to The Ruthless Truth on WSLR, News and Views about the Suncoast in Florida, for those who want to change it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Ali. All right, so we had a very early morning yesterday, 8 a.m. press conference. I know that our listeners are also going to learn more about that from the WSLR news team, because they were there and attended the protest, so the press conference, apologies. So we'll be able to learn more about that there. But then right away, you had to leave to Tampa, right? We know that President Biden was actually coming to town in Tampa. It was, I'm going to say, an operation that was kept secret for a while. We didn't know the location. So let's go ahead and get into that and how this event was organized to counter Biden.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I think it's really important. You know, Joe Biden came to Tampa yesterday as part of a campaign event. He didn't announce where he was going to be in Tampa until Monday. But as soon as we found out where he was going to be, as soon as we found out that he was coming to Tampa, we knew we had to respond, you know, especially because he came to Tampa, he came to Florida to say that he stands with women, you know, to protect reproductive rights. Well, we know that he doesn't actually care about women. He certainly does not care about women in Gaza, who he is helping to starve, who he's helping to murder. And, you know, as we'll discuss later, I don't think he actually cares that much about reproductive health. But when we knew that Genocide Joe Biden was coming to Tampa, we knew we had to organize a protest. We sent out the call, and we were really, really happy yesterday with the turnout that we got. You know, it was at 1 p.m. in the middle of the workday on a Tuesday, we were able to get 200 people. I would say actually, you know, in the realm of 200 to 350 people coming out to say no to Genocide Joe and to say, you don't actually stand with women. You support genocide. You're supporting the genocide of men, women, and children in Gaza. You aren't actually welcome here in Tampa. And you are a fool if you think that we are going to vote for you in November. If you think we're going to come and vote for you in November while you're prosecuting a genocide, that's actually a statement that the Biden campaign said. They said, oh, you know, we're coming to Florida because Florida is winnable. Well, I have news for you, Joe Biden. It's not winnable if you're supporting a genocide. It's not winnable if you are showing the majority of people in this country who, by the way, support an immediate and permanent ceasefire, especially Democrats, but Democrat, Republican, Independent, they all support a ceasefire. If you are showing those people your true colors, you are showing them that you don't regard Palestinians as human. You are okay with funding a genocide, with arming the Israelis who are committing this genocide, and supporting, running cover for this genocide. I would say Joe Biden is complicit. I would say Joe Biden is complicit in war crimes that are happening in Gaza. That Joe Biden actually is a war criminal. I would go as far as to say that. And I think people all around the world are disgusted by what's happening in Gaza. It's an affront to humanity. We know that people in the U.S. are disgusted. We know that people in Tampa are incredibly disgusted. We have not only a large Palestinian community here in Tampa, we have a very large Palestinian solidarity movement, just like there's a very large Palestinian solidarity movement all across the country. And I'm really, really proud of people coming out to raise their voices, to say no to their own government, to stand on the right side of history during a genocide. And I think we made our message very, very clear to Joe that he cannot just come to Tampa and expect to host a private event, which, by the way, this event that he came to yesterday, campaign event, it was a completely private event. It was, there were no tickets for sale. There was no invite link. It was not first come, first served. It was a private event. It seemed to be primarily for Democratic Party officials locally and people who are running for office. And let me tell you something. I guarantee you the people inside of there, even though, you know, he's organizing this very small event, I guarantee you even in there, he's having people push back against him for Palestine. And think about it. He is organizing this tiny event, not because he wants to, not because he wants to have to hide, but because he has to hide, because he is unpopular, because his policies of genocide are unpopular. His policies, what he has actually done for people in this country, you know, it's meaningless. It's nothing. He has not actually accomplished anything in his 4 years. We actually have seen, when it comes to reproductive rights, we've seen abortion rights backslide. The overturning of Roe v. Wade happened while Joe Biden was president. Joe Biden had the opportunity to federally enshrine abortion rights, reproductive rights, through the Women's Health Protection Act while he had a majority in Congress, while he had a majority in the Senate, while he was sitting in the White House, as he is right now. And he chose not to. He chose not to pursue that. And now it's election season. They're saying, oh, you know, if you care about reproductive rights, you need to vote for the Democrats. And, you know, if you are upset about the genocide of Palestinians, well, get over yourself, basically. That's the message that the Democratic Party has. That's actually verbatim what Hillary Clinton said. These are the options. Get over yourself. And I think our demonstration, as well as the massive amounts of disruption and protests that Joe Biden, the Democratic Party officials, Democratic Party politicians all across the country are facing, is a rejection of this. Is it a rejection entirely of the two-party system that we have? People are fed up. People don't want to take this anymore. People are not going to be falling for this. People are not going to be falling for this in November. And Joe Biden has to weigh seriously, does he care about supporting Israel or does he care about winning this election? And I think we know what he's choosing right now. And I don't want anyone to be surprised with what he chooses by November.
Yeah. You know, when I first learned that he was coming to Tampa, my first initial reaction was, why? Why exactly is he coming? And I could not believe that he was coming to promote himself regarding reproductive rights after the failure that he has been. He had failed codified Roe v. Wade before, and then it was really, he did absolutely no acknowledgement or even push for Congress to pass the Women Healthcare Protection Act. I mean, absolutely not even try. You know what I mean? It's almost like he intentionally missed every opportunity, yet now he gets to go around the country to promote what he hasn't delivered. I feel like so insulted by that. I feel like he is just really expecting that the propaganda that comes through the media, you know, the same propaganda that we see every 4 years of please vote for the lesser of the two evils, do not let Trump come back into power. I think that's really what he's counting on. However, we are wide awake right now and we will not be falling for that. You know, I feel it's just outraging. Just outrageous to me that he gets to come into town and try to campaign and also have this event that was like invitation only. In reality, only for those that have been friends of the Democratic Party, like top tier of management. And those are the only people that got links. We know that for a fact. That got, I'm sorry, not links, but that got the email as an invitation to them. This was not an event that was open to the public. And it is just like you said, Ali, throughout the entire country, he has been disrupted everywhere he shows up. And it's not just Genocide Joe. It also includes many of the Democratic people in Congress. They are also facing a backlash to the point where they now have to hide everywhere that they do go. You mentioned something about him murdering women and children and men in Gaza. And I want to just call him for what it is also. Like, at this point, Genocide Joe is a straight up serial killer. I mean, I do not know what you call someone who has aid and continues to aid the, you know, complete bombing and killing and mass murdering of people, of innocent civilians that are simply trying to survive. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, but what about the lives of Israeli people from October 7th? And we always have to be reminding people that October 7th was an uprising and Israel is still responsible for those deaths. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts. I want to start real quick by saying just it's true. We always need to be remembering the deaths, the murder of all of these Palestinian men, women, and children. It's not just the women, it's not just the children, it's the men as well. Mm-hmm. And we know the count, the official count by the Gaza Health Ministry is still locked at 33,000. It's been locked at that for a few months because the Gaza Health Ministry is not able to operate because the conditions in Gaza are so bad that there's a complete breakdown in the health services, complete breakdown. We know that the entire Gaza Strip is at risk of famine. We know that the majority of people in Gaza have not actually eaten anything in the past 2 or 3 days. And quite frankly, Joe Biden is okay with this. Not only Joe Biden is okay with this, this is the result of Joe Biden's actions. We as Palestinians are not anyone with human value to the American administration, certainly not to the Israelis, but not to the American administration. We are like bugs, like roaches. So it's okay for us to be exterminated, because that's what this is. Let's call it what it is. It's an ethnic cleansing. And right now, Israel is trying to shell and bomb and make the last few people who are in Beit Hanun, which is a small town in the north of Gaza, which had around 70,000 people, I want to say, before October 7th, and now is only down to a few hundred. They're still shelling this town, trying to get the last 100 people to leave. They want it ethnically cleansed. They want it gone. And this is what we're supporting. This is what not the American people. This is what the American government is supporting. This is what the American ruling class has decided will be okay, in the words of Aaron Bushnell. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal. And we need to remember that. And we also need to remember, when it comes to October 7th, I think it's really important that people look into all of the research that has been done since October 7th, especially about the very shoddy piece that came out from the New York Times, where one of the contributors is someone who served in the IDF's intelligence division and who has shared content on social media that is genocidal in nature. But a lot of things in this article have been debunked about Hamas intentionally using sexual assault as a weapon. We know that there were other myths that were circulated at the beginning, like the myth of the babies with their heads decapitated or the babies being put in ovens or all of these other ridiculous claims that people just took and ran with, even though they were completely unsourced. They just took Israeli word completely uncritically. I think that we need to remember that 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 is at the center of this. It is the murder of Palestinian people. It is the genocide of the Palestinian people that is at the center of this. And our media would like nothing more to focus on the protests and focus on, oh, you know, these protesters are going too far, and not talk about what our government is doing, not talk about what Israel is doing. You know, I don't know how much our listeners have been paying attention to the news around Colombia. Let me say that again. I trust our listeners. I trust that our listeners understand what's going on in Colombia and all these universities across the country, how the students and the faculty are coming together to stand against their universities investing in Israel and stand against genocide in the general sense. And the media coverage on this has been, these students are going too far. These protests are anti-Semitic. From the river to the sea is an anti-Semitic slogan. Well, completely ignoring the actual genocide that is going on in front of our eyes. Completely ignoring it. Well, guess what? The majority of people aren't falling for that anymore. I'm sorry. The majority of people around the world are sick and tired of having the U.S. deem what is okay and what is not okay. They are sick and tired of the double standards. How it's okay if when Israel bombs other countries' embassies. It's okay when Israel carries out ethnic cleansings. Actually, it's not just okay. We're going to support it. They are sick and tired of this political system that we have in the United States, and it's showing. And I think that the student movement in the United States is a really good example of the strength of our movement and the kind of trouble that Joe Biden, the ruling class, and the entire establishment are in.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I know that we interviewed USF students that were part of a hunger strike a couple of shows ago. And actually, we have an update about that. And I'm glad that you brought it up, reminded me to give an update, which is that USF decided to divest. They actually voted to divest.
Quick correction on that. So USF, the USF Senate voted to try and get the board that oversees the investments to try and get them to have student oversight. However, that hasn't actually gone into place yet. They are still fighting for that, and we're still rooting for them in that struggle. But it's a really big win. You're correct. The students are on the side of Palestine. The students are done with their university supporting genocide. And I think that we're going to see continued escalation by the students if the university refuses to accept the will, the democratic will of the students at the university.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the words of the UAW union president, Sean Fanning, I believe is his name, when he said that, the recent win that they had in the past week regarding their contract, it reminds me of his words when he said the dominoes are starting to fall. And that's what I think of when it comes to divesting from investments in Israel with the actions, that the USF Student Senate took, but also seeing the actions in Colombia, where now Columbia University has also voted to divest. And it's like the dominoes are starting to fall. And this is going to be just, you know, the first few of what will be many other institutions that are already having student walkout and students that have set up camps basically outside the universities and refusing to leave because they are pushing for this divestment. So we will see in many of those institutions, we will also see that they will have the courage to go ahead and also divest from Israel.
This is exactly what we need. We need this solidarity between the faculty, between the students, between different sectors of society. And we need to be brave in this moment where there is a genocide happening. We can't be afraid of unjust police retaliation to our just protest. We are on the right side of history. We are going to be looked at as, you know, when there was a genocide happening, what were you doing? What were you doing? That's the honest question that people are going to have to reckon with. And I think just a few years, people are going to be looking back and assessing what were they doing? What were they involved in? What were their views? And I think it's really safe to say these Columbia students are on the right side of history. And, you know, I don't want to toot our own horn. I think that we are on the right side of history trying to organize here in Florida. And I think that listeners, every one of you who has come out to a protest, I think you are all on the right side of history as well. but we need to double our efforts. We need to triple our efforts. We need to be thinking creatively, each one of us, about what can I do for Palestine, not just myself. What can I join? What efforts can I join? Can I organize with my fellow students? Can I organize with my fellow coworkers? You know, is there, you know, am I a member of a community that can come together and take some action for Palestine? You know, if I'm at a university, is it invested in Israel? If I'm living in a city, is that city invested in Israel? What can I do to stand in solidarity with Palestine? Because now is the time to put pressure. We are on the right side of history. The dominoes are starting to fall, exactly like you said. We need to keep the pressure up, because I see a path to a liberated Palestine within our lifetimes, and I see a path to a different system here in this country in our lifetimes. A system that puts people over profit, a system that is not based on, you know, exploitation, but one that puts the people first, a socialist system. I see that in our lifetimes happening here in this country, but only if we fight for it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, very famous quote, dare to struggle, dare to win. And this is really what it looks like. I am so inspired by the actions that are going on all over the country. I am inspired by globally the number of people that have come in the millions, to where at this point we know for sure that the majority of the world, the majority, you know, all of the global south and the majority of the countries in the entire world are actually standing with Palestine. And, you know, we need to continue to put that pressure. We need to continue to sacrifice ourselves and in order to fight our own government, in order to basically stop this genocide and stop really what can now become a regional war in the Middle East, right? Something that can result in even more death and more destruction. I was watching with my dad today. I was watching the news in Spanish, because he listens to it in Spanish. And one of the reports that they gave is that Iran now has given us like a very serious warning to Israel that if they dare to bomb an embassy or anything else that belongs to Iran again, Iran threatened and assured them that he will end the Zionist state. Like, that is the seriousness of the actions that we are facing right now. So we need to come out and, you know, oppose war in addition to opposing genocide, but also oppose war, because our communities have nothing to gain from wars.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we're running out of time, so unfortunately we can't really get too much into Iran and the possibility of regional war and all the dynamics that are happening there. I would love to come back on, you know, either next week or the week after and talk about this, because these dynamics aren't going away. The U.S. is really stuck in a trap. And the question is, are they going to stop their support for Israel, or are they going to potentially be dragged into a regional war? And yeah, I think we need to talk about that in a future episode. I just wish we had more time here on The Ruthless Truth for this episode.
Yes, yes. Oh my goodness, Ali, our conversation was great today. Thank you so much for, you know, joining, regardless of the many endless hours of work that we are putting in this week. I hope that we were able to inspire our listeners and inspire people who have not come out to any event, whether it is that you can or, you know, any other reason. Please look up an anti-war organization by you. Please look up people who are organizing. If you go on, you know, anywhere on social media and you put in Tampa Bay, Fight for Palestine, protests are taking place on a very regular basis, almost on a weekly basis at times. So truly just come out and, you know, bring your courage, and you'll see that you'll be very inspired to continue to fight back once you join hands with other people and you fight alongside the people that have already been out in the street. So thank you, Ali, for being with us. And thank you to our listeners.